Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
First of my good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 9th of July. Time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, how will a tourism tax in Liverpool affect medical transfer patients? And why did some spend the night on the floor at John Lennon Airport recently? A member of the education department says school league tables are problematic. And we have an update from Isle of Man Meets following the introduction of a new board last year. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Simon Richardson. Fast am I, Simon.
Fast am I. Five different motorists were caught using their mobile phones while driving this morning, all of them on the same road. The Isle of Man Roads Policing Unit says the individuals were all stopped within a short space of time. It's urging drivers not to take a chance as the risk to you and other road users really isn't worth it. Those stopped have been issued points on their licence and a fine. The founders of Ramsay's award-winning Fynoderee Distillery say they're stepping away from the business. Paul and Tiffany Carouche say Fynoderee is continuing under the management and ownership of its financial investors. The couple, who built the business from the garage at the back of their home, say the harsh realities of operating a craft distillery and hospitality business are relentless, and it's a shame they couldn't match their deep passion for the brand and acquired knowledge of craft spirit production with the deeper pockets needed to financially hold on to their position. Andrew John Gibson's filled the vacant seat at Onchan Commissioners. He was the only candidate to come forward before nominations closed at lunchtime. And the international news. The parents of survivors of the Southport attack have told of their daughter's trauma and their own flashbacks in statements to the public inquiry. One mother's revealed her child now always needs to be able to see the door at school. Another says it's painful to know her little girl was only comforted by other children. Infected blood victims say they're waiting to die in limbo as a report finds compensation scheme failings are causing further harm. And thousands of NHS patients were given tainted products in the 70s, 80s and 90s, but most are yet to be paid a penny. Finally, residents' doctors in England have announced a 5-day strike over pay at the end of the month. The Health Secretary says it's unreasonable after they previously received a 28.9% increase. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Gromayed, thank you, Simon. The weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. A fine end to the day with sunny spells and light and variable winds. Clear spells overnight, minimum temperature 13 degrees. Increasing risk tomorrow of coastal mist and fog at times, otherwise warm sunny spells developing with light winds and a top temperature of 21 degrees. Continuing risk of coastal mist and fog again for much of Friday, but also some warm sunny spells, light winds and a highest temperature of 22 degrees. Sunset tonight is at 9:49 and sunrise tomorrow morning is at 2 minutes before 5.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock. Often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture. And a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Karcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now, 5 past 5. The Department of Health and Social Care is being urged to review the allowances paid to patients who travel to Liverpool for specialist treatment at the city's hospitals. Starting this month, a tourist levy has been imposed by Liverpool Council of between £2 and £2.40 for overnight stays in the area. Currently, patients are given a £50 per night allowance for accommodation. Sarah Maltby is the MHK for Douglas South.
Yes, that's correct. So I was contacted by a constituent who regularly is sent to Liverpool for treatment, and the cost of this additional visitor tax or visitor charge is making those trips unaffordable. It's making it so it's really difficult for them to be able to go away, have their treatment, and then obviously come back and claim back the allowance. But it's pushing them really far over that allowance now, so it doesn't make it very fair for those people who do have regular trips to Liverpool for treatment that can't be provided on island.
I guess the principle of this is that Manx patients don't choose to go to the UK for treatment. Now, currently, the Manx government allowance is around, I think I can write his name, £50 a night for hotels. That wouldn't get you a night in a decent budget hotel in most cases, in my experience.
Yeah, so patients, when they go to the UK, are exactly that, a patient. They're not a visitor. And so being asked to pay for a visitor charge doesn't seem right. So I asked the question of the Health and Social Care Minister in the hope that this may be reviewed and may be included within the allowance. The answer that has come back suggests that this policy, the patient transfer policy, is going to be reviewed. However, just wanted to bring it to their attention that this is probably something that they maybe hadn't considered or had factored into being a difficulty for patients.
Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby there. Well, a review of the allowances paid to patients for accommodation in the UK is to be reviewed by the DHSC, but the outcome of that review won't be until July next year. Health Minister Claire Christian, who Manx Radio has invited for interview, says whilst acknowledging the supplement could create additional costs for patients travelling, currently there is no clear evidence that patients are being disproportionately impacted or that barriers to NHS services have occurred. Well, meanwhile, with the patient transfer service under the spotlight, we've been hearing about some of the difficulties people have faced in recent weeks. It's even led to Manx Care issuing an apology, as Simon Richardson reports.
This is what happened, according to Carol Mayle, who runs the Isle of Man patient transfer page on Facebook.
It's just an example how awful it is. Last week, 9 patients ended up sleeping on the floor at Liverpool Airport because they weren't told that they had a hotel room. One of them had had a knock that day, still had a drip in, and another one had very, very bad cancer, just was very ill. And they lay on the floor in the airport all night. They couldn't use the quiet rooms because they locked all that off. And then in the morning, the flight was cancelled again. It's an impossible situation.
That was on the 25th of June. And in response, Manx Care says it's very sorry to hear about the experience those patients had. However, the health body says it appears that the correct processes were followed on the night. It adds that passengers were advised to book their own accommodation and submit expenses to Loganair for reimbursement, which is in line with standard procedures in such situations. And this is currently being followed for those passengers who booked accommodation and claimed the cost back. Meanwhile, Manx Care says patient transfer's 24-hour on-call emergency phone number was also available, and it received one call that evening where appropriate advice was given. However, it acknowledges that communications could have been better and says it's amended the travel warrant that's sent to patients prior to their travel to emphasise that they can call the out-of-hours service for help and advice if in difficulty due to travel disruption.
Simon Richardson there. Well, we have had response from Liverpool John Lennon Airport as well, which says access to the patient quiet room is only possible ahead of departing flights. However, since this facility is located in the departure lounge, which closes after the last departure, access wasn't possible overnight. Airport staff worked hard to try to accommodate these passengers ahead of their flight the following day, and they ensured access to the patient quiet room considerably earlier than their departure time the following day once the departure lounge reopened. We understand that this matter is being investigated by the various organisations involved to ensure such problems for patients returning home after medical treatments do not happen again.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's now 5:10. The Department of Infrastructure has formally applied for permission to reintroduce a bus route to Craigneish. The department is seeking a variation of its regular service licence for bus vanning to introduce the 8S route, connecting Peel with a number of locations in the south of the island, including Craigneish. Sian Cowper has the details.
Last month, Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward announced plans to bring in the new route, connecting Peel and Foxdale with the south, including the Sound via Craigneish. The village and heritage attraction was previously served by the number 28 service, but former Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall confirmed last year that it had been scrapped due to falling passenger numbers.
From analysing previous year's operation, it is clear that the revenue gained from the service does not make the route financially viable to operate.
The decision resulted in a campaign by local residents to have the service reinstated, citing the impact on tourism in the south, as well as residents at the Howe who would use the route. Having confirmed plans for the new service, Dr. Hayward stated she'd like to see the route up and running in time for the school holidays.
We are just in the process now of applying to the RTLC for a licence to run that service. And I'm hopeful that the new service will kick in just as we get into the summer holidays, so sometime next month.
The Road Transport Licensing Committee has now published details of the application. It states the changes would commence a revised timetable between Peel and Port Erin, with extensions via Port St Mary to Craigneish and the Sound, reintroducing direct links between Peel and Castletown with the visitor sites. Bus vanning currently has approval to operate 90 buses and 90 minibuses using 11 regular service licences. The application and any objections are expected to be considered at one of the RTLC's next meetings on either the 29th of July or the 7th of August.
Sian Cowper with that report. Now, the operators of the island's meat plant at Tramode say progress is being made and the door is open for dialogue with producers. The Isle of Man Meat Company says that since the new board took over in late September last year, the business is now on much firmer ground with new leadership, clearer direction and a focus on practical improvements. Simon Richardson has been looking at the update from the company and joins me now in the studio. Simon, it's been a fairly tumultuous couple of years for the meat plant, but this report issued by the company sounds, well, positive.
You're right, Lewis, especially when you think back to last year and the scathing letter and no confidence censure from the Manx NFU. Well, this latest report is considerably more upbeat and points to a number of key achievements, which include a drop in waiting times for livestock from 12 weeks to zero. It also says cattle processing speeds have more than doubled from 9 to over 20 per hour.
I understand that the plant has had to import a team of butchers after there were no takers on the island.
Yes, that's the case, Lewis. The company's workforce has been expanded with the addition of 11 skilled butchers from the Philippines. That's after the local recruitment programme failed to fill the vacancies.
So what are other signs of progress then that have been highlighted by the plant's management?
Well, there are several. Product shelf life is said to be increasing from 11 up to 42 days, and hygiene and productivity have both improved following a full plant-wide training week. You may remember that the plant was previously plagued by mechanical breakdowns and issues with machinery. Well, the good news is that fewer mechanical breakdowns are occurring in line with better maintenance of critical machinery. The company also says it's developing stronger working relationships with butchers and customers, and plans are underway for a profitable Manx meat range in all Isle of Man Tesco stores.
Okay, well, finally, Simon, is there any information about the bottom line and whether the new management have been able to improve its financial situation?
Well, in financial terms, the business says sales are now closer to covering costs. Michael Barker, who's the general manager at the meat plant, says progress made is just the beginning and sales are closer, as I say, to covering costs.
Simon Richardson, thank you for joining us. Guramayad.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
And we'll bring you the latest from the roads now. Of course, the Southern 100 continues this evening. The Balaun circuit will be closed from 6 o'clock until no later than 9:40 tonight. And tomorrow there's a full day of racing, which means the course will be closed from 9:30 in the morning until 1:45 in the afternoon, and again from 1:30 until no later than 4:45. Elsewhere this evening in Douglas, Finch Road is closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road for sewer work. In Colby, temporary lights on the main road at the Ballacry Park turn for water main work. In Peel, temporary lights on Glenfaber Road near the new sewage treatment plant for service supply work there. And in Sulby, temporary lights on the Sulby Bridge for work on the manholes. Over at the airport, the Aer Lingus flight is delayed coming into the island, so the 20 past 5 departure now set to take off at 6:30, otherwise all flights on time this evening. And over on the sailings, the Manxman is seriously sailing from Heysham, due to get back into Douglas for 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, Mananan is due to arrive in Liverpool in around 20 minutes' time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now, 16 minutes past five. School league tables are problematic, according to a political member of the Education Department. While there's no official ranking of schools, independent quality assessments of them are now in their second year. Education Minister Daphne Kane and Paul Crane, MLC, appeared on Man in Line today and were asked why the island won't consider introducing league tables.
I understand why some parents and people feel that that is valuable, but in terms of improving outcomes for the individual and for improving education generally, I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah, I think school league tables, they're an issue, but they're problematic from the beginning to the end, really. What are you going to put the league table based on? I used to work as an education advisor in the education department. Parents used to phone up and say, I'm moving to the Isle of Man. Which school do I send my child to? You haven't got a league table. No, we haven't got a league table. But I've got all the data you could possibly imagine. Okay, tell me which is the best school. So I'd say, well, if you want the school that had the highest number of GCSE passes at C and above, yeah, yes, please, it's this one. Okay, but they didn't get most A's. Oh, where got the most A's? Well, this school got the most A's, you know. But that school didn't do so well at the lower grades, you know. So it depends on the child that's coming. And after a 5-minute conversation, parents would say, well, where should I send them? Because when you look at all the data, there isn't a table, there isn't an order of schools. And if you look at individual subjects, there isn't an order of schools. So where do I send them? Well, send them to the community that they're based in. You know, it makes more sense. That's where the people who live around them go. That's where they'll make friends. They'll come out with broadly the same set of results, whichever school they go to, and it'll be the local school, less travelling and so on. And I think that's where league tables fall down, really.
That was Education Minister Daphne Kane and Paul Crane, MLC, appearing on Man in Line today. Now, the waiting list for the island's child and adolescent mental health services has halved over the last 12 months. In May last year, just over 1,200 youngsters were waiting to receive support from CAMHS. In May this year, that number had fallen to 635. Manx Care's Chief Executive, Theresa Cope, gave an update at the organisation's latest board meeting.
Integrated mental health, I just thought it was worth really recognising some of the impact that we've had from the transformation funding that came through at the back end of last year. So this was additional money received by Manx Care on top of our baseline budget to specifically respond to the waiting lists in our CAMHS service and to allow us to move to that new model of care called Thrive, which we signed up to a number of years ago, which really starts to place stronger focus on our work into schools, a single point of access, and more early intervention and self-help. So working in conjunction with our Listen and Talk service, launched in May. The work on the waiting list started at the end of the last calendar year, and as you can see, our waiting list has halved in that time. So some very positive work. We've also talked about the impact of the mental health first contact practitioner, which is really, really positive, has been received so incredibly well by GPs, and we absolutely want to roll that out.
Manx Care CEO Theresa Cope there. Now, a candidate in the upcoming Port Erin by-election says he would like to see an improvement in the play areas and more facilities for children. Carl Drinkwater, who's running as an independent, hopes to support responsible camping and outdoor tourism and bring more people into the village if he's elected. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to him.
I'm standing because basically my family are originally from Port Erin. They used to run the old butcher's shop, and running independently because I want to make a change. I don't think fresh energy and stuff's in the community anymore.
What made you decide to stand?
My friend's actually a commissioner at the moment called Gary Chambers, who's actually my proposer for me. He was mentioned it to me, and I said, actually, that's quite a good idea, because then I might be able to help sort out the campsite that's down there at the moment. And there's a few other things that need sorting out. Like, there's people camping down the breakwater near the lifeboat station. I think that's another place that should be prioritised as well.
What do you think are the other key issues facing residents in Port Erin?
I haven't had a chance to canvass yet because I work shifts on the buses, so I just mention it to people who I know. But my other concerns is, like, there's not a lot of stuff for young people to do anymore, and the park's outdated, it needs updating and stuff like that, and a few other things.
If you are elected, is there anything in particular you'd like to achieve?
I'd like to make the campsite sorted out properly, because in my opinion it should be local firms doing it and sort out that way. And a few other things, like, I want to sort out things for kids.
You mentioned it on your manifesto as well about the parks and the green spaces. Is that something that you're really passionate about yourself?
Yeah, I've got a 3-year-old and I've got a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old with autism, and it's quite hard to do anything around Port Erin anymore apart from the park, which is outdated and half of it's broken.
What do you think you'll be able to bring to the role?
I don't really have background with, like, political sort of stuff. This is my first ever time, so I'll just have to learn as I go, but I will try my best, and if anyone has a problem they could give me a ring or email and I'll help them as best I can.
That was Carl Drinkwater, who's a candidate standing for one of the two vacant seats in the upcoming Port Erin Commissioners by-election. The other candidates are Jimmy Cubbin and Fenella Gray. Residents will be able to vote at the Port Erin Commissioners offices from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. on Thursday, the 17th of July. 22 minutes past five now. Almost £7,000 has been raised to help repatriate an Isle of Man resident remembered as a true champion of the alternative music scene here. Raz McVitie died last week whilst attending a gig in Blackpool. On the island, he's recognisable as the inspiration for the logo of Bushy's Goth IPA. Bushy's Brewery founder Martin Brunchweiler remembers Raz fondly.
Raz has been part of the Bushy's family for over 40 years. I mean, he was there at the very start when my sister Nikki and I set up the old pub in what was known back then as Givago's Bar. And It was a sort of slow start, and we inherited a lot of regulars from when certain pubs closed down, which older people will remember the Legs of Man and the New Strand and the Dog's Home. And when those places closed, they seemed to sort of gravitate to our pub Bushy's in Victoria Street, and Raz was just a huge part of that crowd of people who came. And yeah, he sort of set the set the tone with his style, and with he was so sort of influential with his taste in music and his clothes and everything. And he just, as you say, he was such a colourful character that one of those people, you know, once met, never forgotten. He was amazing. No, it's come as a huge shock to him. He's going to be sorely missed.
Martin Brunchweiler there, paying tribute to Raz McVitie. We'll turn our attention to sport now. The manager of the Manx cycling team heading to the 2025 Island Games believes he has a very strong collection of riders which can compete at the sharp end. The Isle of Man will again contest both the road and mountain bike events, and Rob Sorby believes staying united as a group throughout a busy week will also be important.
We've got 5 male road riders taking part and 4 male mountain bike riders. Unfortunately, we were unable to have any female riders. The situation with the unfortunately, we had 3 female road riders taking part, and unfortunately those girls have other commitments now. Ruby Oaks, Jess Pickavance and Sophie Smith, and their teams have advised them not to take part in the Island Games, which is understandable.
And there were a number of successes in Guernsey. It was Team Silver for the men's team in the Criterium, but also in the mountain biking as well. Both the men's and women's teams did extremely well. So how do you build on the success from Guernsey?
Yeah, it was a successful Guernsey Games. The riders who are going this year, with cycling we've got a lot of riders who are professional or just outside professional racing who, like the girls this year, aren't able to commit. But this year we've been fortunate enough, we've got Tyler Haney coming along, and he'll be a very strong rider. And then alongside them, we've got some really strong junior riders, as they're called now, coming up through the ranks. So we've got a lot of this youth, perhaps, that we didn't have last time. It'll be a very strong team, I think.
For these younger lads coming through and maybe experiencing it for the first time, how much can they learn, I suppose, off others who've done it before?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. That's one of the benefits of having the likes of Mark and Niall in the team. You know, they've done it at One Island Games, which, you know, counts an awful lot. They understand what's needed during the week. It is quite a busy week. We have a race every day. What we need is all of the team to help out on the days that they're not racing. So the days that the road riders aren't riding, they'll be out on the mountain bike course handing out bottles and mucking in there, and the same vice versa for the mountain bikers. So yeah, we'll need everyone to pull apart.
Not going to ask you to make any predictions, obviously, but, you know, what would the cycling team class as a successful Island Games?
That's a very tough one. I think we would be looking for what we didn't get last time, was individual gold medals.
The 2025 Island Games in Orkney will get underway this Saturday and run until Friday the 18th of July. And Rob Pritchard will be there, but right now he's at Cross Four Ways ahead of tonight's Southern 100 races. And he has the latest sport news for us. Fast am I, Rob?
Yeah, fast am I, Lewis. Welcome to a very sunny Cross Four Ways on the Motor Arbor Lown course. Well, after poor weather put paid to the opening races of the 2025 Southern 100 Road races last night, we now have a jam-packed racing schedule planned on the Lown course this evening. Roads around the course are due to shut at 6 p.m. before things get underway with the 6-lap Mike Carouche Plumbing and Heating Lightweight Race at 6:20 before the 7-lap Ellen Van Infuel's Senior Race at 7. Next up after that is due to be the JCK Limited 600cc B Race at 7:40, followed by the H&H Motorcycles 600cc Race at 8:15, both of those races also over 7 laps. Tonight's action is then due to conclude with the 6-lap Ace Hire Sidecar Race at 8:50. Roads around the course will reopen tonight no later than 9:40 p.m. A reminder, all timings are approximate and the schedule remains subject to change depending on prevailing conditions and circumstances. Elsewhere, FC Isle of Man has confirmed the appointment of Lawrence Looney as a director at the club. Mr. Looney takes up the post having recently stepped down as co-chair of National League side Altrincham FC, a position he'd held for 7 years. Furthermore, he's confirmed his responsibilities will include setting up a 3-year plan for the club and undertake a full review of its operations. Meanwhile, the club's vice chairman, Lee Dixon, adds, "We've had numerous conversations and it's an easy call to make. Lawrence has agreed to join the board and come into the club, and he's going to be a fantastic asset to help guide us through, hopefully, the next phase for the club." Well, on the pitch, FC Isle of Man are currently running pre-season preparations ahead of their latest NWCFL Premier Division season, which is due to start on Saturday the 26th of July with a home tie against Litherland Remica. And finally, sticking with football, Canada Life men's Premier League side Ayr United have begun their search for a new first team manager. The Northern side is now welcoming interest in the position and is inviting anyone who may be interested to get in touch. Well, during the 2024-25 campaign, Ayr United finished second in the top flight in the league. Elsewhere last season, they claimed the 2024 Eric Fletcher Charity Shield and also won both the Plum Properties Railway Cup in December 2024 and the ECAP FA Cup in April this year.
Rob Pritchard, Gura Mayed, and best of luck from Cross Four Ways tonight as the Southern 100 gets back underway. That's it for tonight. If you want to hear Rob and the team bring you all the coverage from the Lown course, you can catch that on AM Manx Radio Motorsport. Meanwhile, coming up on FM, Howard is here with Spotlight next. Then Jason Moore is on at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. And remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. In the meantime, have a great evening, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.